Mr. Dan, I appreciate that. I am confident by this time that Dan Hooker appreciates the term Pastor Dan more than Dr. Dan. I am convinced he is thoroughly loving being your pastor here. I love the sign over here, "May they come as guests and leave as family." You know, when we started here 6 years ago, that was the cry of my heart, that we would develop into a family of God for God's glory. And I see so many folks I know and so many folks I don't know. And that's a praise to God and a joy to God. And if you are here as a first-time guest and you have never heard Pastor Dan teach, you got to come back next week so you can hear him teach. And he has a giftedness beyond mine in the understanding of scriptures, and it's just a joy. When Pastor Dan invited me to come, I began praying about, well, what can I talk about? What part of scripture would the Lord lay on my heart? And part of it came to, oh man, 1 Thessalonians 5 would be good because it talks about the end days and it talks about living in the end days and things like that. But as I continued to pray, I began thinking about and praying about God's faithfulness and how your faith and my faith in his faithfulness just can blossom into this beautiful ornament of his glory and grace. And I was reminded of a story that I had read about Hudson Taylor. If you don't know who Hudson Taylor was, I pray that you would just read about him, Google him. He was a missionary in China, and he even left the mission affiliates behind, and he became his own missionary there, became involved in the culture and everything, and just gave his life to the Lord there. And as he ministered, the Chinese government got a little frustrated with him. And so they decided to pay a journalist, an atheist journalist, to follow him, to debunk all of, in their minds, the garbage that he was teaching. This journalist followed him for days and days and days, weeks and weeks and weeks, months and months and months. And the more he watched Hudson Taylor's faith, the more he realized that everything that was happening for the Lord's glory was because of God's grace and faithfulness to him. And it just blossomed, so much so that this atheist, at risk of his own life, said, "I cannot write anything bad." Trusted Christ as his own Savior. And wrote his last journal, praising God for Jesus Christ. This church is built upon the truth of who Jesus Christ is and the wonder of salvation and how he can take wicked wretches like Dan Hooker and Rich Bailey and change their lives miraculously for his glory and his glory alone. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we consider the beauty of faith and faith's beauty, Lord, we come to you this morning asking that your word would just truly penetrate our hearts. Father, that it would encourage us, that it would change us, that it would challenge us for your glory and your glory alone. So, Father, we ask your hand a blessing on this time, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want us to understand our faith in Christ should be vibrantly alive. Our faith in Christ should be vibrantly alive. That's what Hudson Taylor did as he traveled China. His faith was just vibrantly alive where he went. You know, he would even take Chinese characters and point to the reality of who Christ was in him. And with this, I want us to see seven principles as we go throughout 2 Peter chapter 1. First, I want us to see that faith must be precious. If you are here today and you know Christ as your Savior, that faith that you have in Christ should be precious. Look at the first couple of verses. Look at verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, it is all about Christ. It is through Christ. It is precious faith. It is a joy to be able to have brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a joy to worship with them. It is a joy to celebrate all that Christ is in our lives. And that can go way beyond C&E Christians. You know what a C&E Christian is? Christmas and Easter Christian. We're running into Thanksgiving and Christmas. But it is that time where we can truly bond, where we can truly get to know each other, where we study God's word together so that we can go out into this crazy evil world and still celebrate who he is, because faith is precious. It is that which celebrates in our heart, man, only God could do this in me. Only God could save my wretched soul. And the wonders of who Christ is. Look at verse 2. It goes on to say this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The reality of that prayer for grace and peace, for them to have a better knowledge of who Christ is. Grace and peace be to you. I want you to know that even though the Lord has moved me on into a different kind of ministry, and come March 31st of next year, he's going to move me on into a different kind of ministry as well as I fully retire. I know the reality is God's still going to use me, and I still pray these words over this church. I fell in love out here in Ellicott with people who loved God. Grace and peace. You know, our faith must be precious, and it must not only be seen in the reality of our salvation, but the reality of how we pray for others. Grace and peace be unto you. We live in a chaotic world. We walk through a multitude of trials consistently and constantly. We see, and especially with what's happening in Israel and that part of the world today, our hearts break for the glory of God and wanting him to earnestly impact the world. In my mind's eye, I can see hundreds of thousands of Israelis who live in America to flood back to their home country for God's glory after all of this turmoil, chaos, death, pain. God yearns for you and I to realize that, wow, I don't deserve salvation, but you shed your blood for me. That's why we kind of take hold of that with Veterans Day. So many veterans shed their blood so that you and I could have this freedom, that we could celebrate this freedom, where we can worship freely without hindrance here in this place and outside the walls of this place for God's glory. Faith must be precious in your life and my life. Faith must be experienced as well. Follow along as I go on. Look at verse 3. It says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, Christ, who has called us by glory and virtue. Think about that. It is by his divine grace that he has done. Do you and I, because of our faith in Christ, really believe he has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness? Every aspect, everything that you and I need to be able to walk through this life for God's glory, you and I can do it with him walking side by side with us through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God. What a gift he has given us in this faith that we have for Christ. He's given us everything. And I don't care where you are, what circumstance you find yourself in today, struggles in relationships, marriages, with your children, with your work, all of those things. I want you to be convinced because of who God is, he has given you everything you need to walk through that faithfully for his glory. He has given us everything. He has given us everything for godliness. You know, he has broken the bonds of sin around us. Man, those shackles have been broken. You and I voluntarily choose to sin again, go back into the cell, if you will, of sin, back into the prison of it. But he has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And at the end of that verse, he has called us by glory and virtue. You know, he's called you, he's called me, he has given us a definitive plan, a definitive path for his glory and his glory alone. I asked one of our 21-year-olds at RMC just this past Friday. I put my arm around him and I said, "Hey, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And he looked at me kind of odd and he goes, "Oh, I'm going to go to college." And I go, "Well, that's good. But what do you want to be? What is God moving in your heart to do for his glory?" You're going to school. You're spending big bucks to go to school. Have a plan of what God's moving in your heart, wanting that faith to be experienced in a wonderful way. Notice what it goes on to say in verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I love that. He has given us great, mighty, mighty promises, precious promises, because of the fact that we have partaken of Christ in salvation and we can grow in Christ's likeness. Yeah, don't let the only promise in your life be this: I'm guaranteed heaven. That's a great promise. It's a wonderful one. The reality is, if we are in Christ, we are guaranteed heaven. But how about the fact that he will never leave you nor forsake you? Then why are you lonely? He will never leave you nor forsake you. Hey, he has adopted you into his family. You are his son or daughter. Amen? He will never leave you nor forsake you. You talk about promises of God, where you and I can walk through the craziness of this world and understand that my God, the creator of the world, walks with me. Come on, folks. Faith is to be experienced. Oh, it is so hard to see folks that walk in doldrums and yet declare they know Christ. Life can be hard. I'm not going to say it's not. All of us experience hardship, difficulty, pain in this life, but yet, you know, our God still rules and reigns, and his promises are still faithful to us as we seek him and walk with him. Faith truly must be experienced. Our faith must be developed. It must grow. Notice how it continues on in verse 5 and following. It says, but also for this very reason, give all diligence. Let's pause there for a second. That diligence is meant to be an actual effort on your part and my part in our walk with God. You and I are supposed to commit time to that. It needs to be a priority in our life to where we like studying God's word and growing in God's grace. Give all diligence to it. Effort to how we approach God, how we live for God, how our faith grows. I remember reading in the Gospels, oh, grow our faith, please, Lord. You know, help us grow. He yearns for you and I to grow in faith. He wants us to do that. And then the very next word is add. And in the Koine Greek, I want you to know that that's a musical term of that day. It was like putting together a great concert together where all of the instruments were coming together, the woodwinds and the different kinds, all the reed instruments and different kinds, all the percussions and brass, you know, all of those things were coming together for a crescendo of God's glory. Add to your faith. It is to develop and grow. And I want you to know, Pastor Dan is an excellent teacher of God's word. You have a great opportunity, but don't let it be just a Sunday time. Let it be an everyday time. Grow. Add to your faith virtue, that moral goodness that reveals who Christ is apart from the culture that we are bombarded with. And to that virtue, knowledge. A better knowledge of who Christ is, who the Holy Spirit is, who the Holy God of the universe is, growing us, changing us for his glory. Not just a cranial exercise, but that motivates us to walk for him and declare how we know him. That is what Hudson Taylor did. He just shared the love of Christ throughout a continent. He went on and on and on because these spiritual truths became evident in his life. To that knowledge, self-control, where the passions that we have are under the control of the Holy Spirit who resides within us, wanting God to be glorified in everything that we do, the desire to serve him, and to that self-control, perseverance, truly staying under the lordship of Jesus Christ, staying under the power of the Holy Spirit who is within us. No matter what the persecution might be, no matter what the hurts might be, no matter what the hardships might be. And do you see how it's building? Into that perseverance, we get back to godliness. That piety, that reverence for God, that honor of God, that fear of God, that God would want us to have within him. It is a growing experience. And I want you to know, folks, I haven't arrived yet. Man, I'm still growing. God's so patient with me. I can honestly say that. He is so patient with me, wanting to grow in this understanding to where my life honors him. In everything that I do, where his lordship truly is seen because of my honor of him. And to that brotherly kindness, welcome to the family of God. You know, I haven't met a brother or sister in Christ that discouraged me yet. They might have hurt me, but not discouraged me. I want you to hear that. Within a church, we can be hurt, but the reality of our relationship because of who God is, because you and I have been adopted into his family. Hey, I had 7 siblings. You talk about interesting moments in life. Yeah. We didn't get along all the time. But they're still my brothers and my sisters. Not all of them have come to Christ yet. God seemed fit that I would be the first one saved in the family. Go figure. You know? Matter of fact, we just went home in October and we were only able to have a dinner meeting with my side of the family that would be willing to come and meet us at a restaurant. And the one brother and wife who came and I really wanted to talk to him about Christ, they chose to sit way at the other end of the table far away from me, so I couldn't talk to him. That drives me up a wall, but I'm going to trust God, and he's still my brother, and she's still my sister. I'm still going to love him. The reality of who we are, it develops and grows. And to that wonderful brotherly kindness, that fervent, practical care for others within the body of Christ and for those without, also needs to end up in love, that desiring the highest priority of godly good in others. You know, it doesn't matter what sin they're wrapped in, they still need Christ. Amen? Amen. And the reality is, I remember here, out here in Ellicott, before COVID, when they still had the benches down here at Fieldby's, I went in for a cup of coffee, and I always chose to sit there just to be able to meet some people and greet some people. And I sat down, and two people sat in front of me who were obviously living in sin. And would we be welcome at your church was the first question. I said, absolutely. You'd be welcome. You might not like what you hear from God's word from time to time, but you would be welcome. And I can't protect you from every side comment, but you would be welcome. Why? Because the greatest need Rich Bailey had for upwards of 30 years was to know Christ as his Savior. And he was an idiot before then. He was a wicked rich. And he couldn't even begin to grow because for you and I to think people need to change their lives before they know Christ is futile. Growth is so necessary. Pastor Dan, do I have to be done by noon? Okay. Look at the fourth thing that we have. Not only must our faith grow, but our faith will be evident. Look at verses 8 and 9. For if these things, this kind of character traits, become truly our character, Christ's likeness growing in us, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a promise. He is saying if we are willing to grow that way, that faith will become evident, people will begin to respond. Like that journalist, he responded to the gospel of Christ because of the Christ-like character that Hudson Taylor had and how he treated people. That faith will become evident for you and I. I want us to think about that. Ellicott, Callahan, you know, Peyton, Rush, Yoder, Colorado Springs really needs it. The reality of us just walking by faith, celebrating who God is. And here God says that will bring forth fruit, not only in ourselves, but for his glory. Verse 9 is a huge warning. He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Wow. And I remember the years that Rich Bailey chose to still pursue his idols. I had become short-sighted of what God had done to save my soul. And it was still life all about me, all about my want. wants in life rather than how God could potentially use me for his glory. Faith will be evident. It will be real. Fruit will come for his glory and his glory alone. Giving all diligence in everything. Wanting him to be seen in our lives. Not unproductive, but truly glorifying him. This kind of faith, do you know what it really brings? At least it has to me. And it's not just because I'm in my 70s. It is because of who he is and what he brought into Diane's and my life, and then our children desiring to pursue God. You know what it brought? Faith brought joy. True joy. Look at the following verses and true hope that we can have within him. Look at verse 10. Therefore, brethren, built upon everything that has already been shared, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Think about that. Now he's talking about even being more diligent, more committed. Christ becomes a higher priority in our life, where our commitment to God's word and to his work in our lives, no matter what God has called us to do, is for his glory. It brings hope. It brings abundant, fruit-filled lives. It brings that time where you and I can give every effort to enjoy our calling and salvation in him. Verse 11 goes on, for the entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is where you and I can live so expectantly, where the bema seat of Christ does not become something we are fearful of, but something we look forward to expectantly in life. Because our hope is sure, because our hope is secure, not in who we are or the circumstances around us, but in whom Christ is in our lives. Genuine hope. Genuine joy. Where we see him working so faithfully in people's lives around us. I was mindful of, I was brought on staff at Rocky Mountain Calvary, and I had no clue what I was doing in men's ministry. Pastor Dan had passed it off to me, and I'm trying to learn the ropes real fast, real quick. But one of the things that they had as an expectation for us, and still do today, is that at the end of the service, we go up front for people to come and pray with us, you know, and that joy of it. Early on, probably within the first 6 weeks of being on staff at RMC, this young man comes up to me, and he looks at me, and he goes, I introduced myself, he introduced himself, he goes, I want you to know I'm married. Amen, brother. And I have two children. I said, well, praise the Lord, treasures. And he goes, and I don't have a clue to what I'm supposed to do and how what I'm doing. And I chuckled inside, because I want you to know that when I was married and had two kids and I was lost at the time, I had no clue what I was doing either. I had no idea of what husbanding was or parenting was or any of that. He was scared. I prayed with him, prayed for his family. And he goes, do you know anybody that can help me? And I said, well, if you want an old guy who's in his 60s to help, I'd be glad to help. And I personally like a book that's called Point Man, How a Man Can Lead His Family. And this is Steve Farrar book. He was part of the Promise Keepers, and it was one of his first books that he wrote. And so I have the old version, not the new version that's been updated by the Iraq War. Mine was considering the Vietnam War, and That's how old I am. That was the Vietnam War. And so I love the book. And it really helps men, full of scripture book. And I said, hey, if you would like to go through this book with me, I'll do it. He texted me, we exchanged phone numbers. He texted me a little while later, hey, can I bring a friend? Yeah, absolutely. He texted me again, how about a couple more friends? I said, sure. Now, we're meeting at 6:30 in the morning on Wednesday mornings in the cafe at RMC. That was the time that we had committed to this. In the end, he had seven friends. Seven friends there. He dragged them along, two of them which didn't even know Christ. And we start going through the book and we realize it has to start with salvation to where we have this foundation in who Christ is in us if we're going to get to having hope and joy in our life, in our relationships with who Christ is. And guess what? All eight of them stuck. To God be the glory. One of them is now pastoring a Calvary chapel in Louisiana. Amen. Only God does those things, because if we realize our faith is precious and it has to be experienced, we must develop and grow, mature in Christ's likeness. It will become evident. It will give us a hope, and people will see the hope and be drawn to it in our lives. The reality of who God is in us. The sixth thing, faith's passion. In other words, there should be something in our life that we are truly passionate about, and it needs to be Jesus Christ. Notice how he goes on. Peter goes on this. He goes, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. I hope that with my dying breath, when the Lord calls me home, I'm still encouraging people in their faith to walk closer to God because of who God is in them and what God can do in them and change them for his glory. Keep reminding, keep remembering the truth of the gospel, the truth and truths of this book. And I want you to know, this is the original Bible that I brought out here. I pastored back east, and I pastored two churches. And when I went from started in a church, I had a Bible. When I changed churches, I chose to change Bibles, same translation, but I didn't want to be swayed by the notes I write in my Bible. And I didn't want to be swayed by the notes that God had laid on my heart for one church family to another. So just so you know, when the Lord called me out here, this was the new Bible that I had. For here, wanting God's word to be fresh in my heart just for this church family. Passionate about the reality that God can do great things in us. Notice how he continues on in verse 13 and 14. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. And the Lord had showed him that he was going to be crucified upside down. And the reality of that, he just wanted to finish faithful. He yearned to leave a heritage. He yearned to leave a legacy for God's glory. That's what Hudson Taylor did in China. That is what we all want to do and should desire to do, not just with our children, but beyond that, within the family of God. You know, I know they're not going to write any books about me like they did to Hudson Taylor, but the reality is, your story, my story, is not finished yet. Don't take the pen out of God's hands, as they say. let God continue to write it, but I'm convinced that he will write it in the hearts of other people as you love on them God's way, as you encourage them God's way, as you teach them God's way. And I know that that is Pastor Dan's passion here in talking to him of what he yearns for you. I love that old saying, sowing seeds you might never see pop out of the ground or grow. Yearning to continue to sow those seeds for God's glory and glory alone. Last but not least, faith remains in the truth and must be lived expectantly. Here it is. Notice how this beautiful first chapter ends. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. I love that. He's going to talk about his encounter at the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's going to share that with the folks again. But what he's saying we are sticking to the truth no matter what it costs us, and it's going to cost him his life. We're going to stick to the truth. It isn't going to be a cunning fable. I want you to know there's a ton of churches out there that devise all sorts of gimmicks to draw a big crowd. The only thing you're ever going to get here at Ellicott Calvary is this, the truth of God's word. Unabashedly, expectantly, because it changes lives. It is the living word of God. Amen? And it will cut and it will bring the truth out, and it can change wonderfully and magically, not magic, his majesty in our lives. Forgive me. Verse 17 goes on, for he received from God the Father, honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. He saw this. He heard the voice of God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son. We're going to stick to the truth of who he is. God sent his Son into the world to die for us. Verse 19, and so we have prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed in the light that shines in dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is for private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that is how we have Scripture today. And we can trust it and rely on it because it's the truth of God's word. Faith remains in the truth. Therefore, you and I can live expectantly and wonderfully within it. Turn over to Revelation chapter 5. And in your mind, I want you to fast forward in your mind in China to 2005. 2005, a teacher with a love and a heart for children gathered together a bunch of children that were 9, 10, and 11 years old and started a Sunday school class and was teaching them about how great God is and how wonderful he can be, and the children were trusting Christ as Savior. And this teacher shared the reality of who Hudson Taylor was and how the truth came to China. All of a sudden, the police forces show up and they huddle these 30 children into a bus. They take the leader away. The bus is filled with kids, and little kids begin crying. And this one little 10-year-old decided to stand up and start singing the truths of who God is. And so by the time they get to the prison where they're going to be interrogated, 9, 10, 11 years old, they are all singing the truths of how great God is. As they are singing, they take them inside, and now they want them to write out 100 times, "I do not believe the fantasy story of Jesus Christ. I do not believe." And they refused to write that, and they began writing, "I love the Lord Jesus Christ," 100 times. They brought their parents, and they wanted their parents to denounce Christ. Some of the parents did, but this 10-year-old little girl just continued to sing. Parent came, a single parent. "Take your kid. Denounce Christ, or we'll keep your kid." The parent goes, "Keep her. She knows what she's doing." They never heard of the teacher again. Sowing seeds you don't know will sprout. And here in Revelation chapter 5, starting with verse 8, we have this. "Now Christ had taken the scroll, 4 living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, and you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation and Ellicott and Callahan and Yoder, and have made us kings and priests to God, and we shall reign on the earth.' And then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, living creatures and elders, and the number of them 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" And we have that to look forward to. You know, today, we really need to examine our hearts of how we're walking in the faith. My prayer is that your faith is strong, that it's not shaken, that you earnestly desire to see those things become vibrantly alive and to continue on, because we yearn for this family of God to glorify our Savior till the day he takes us home. There will be people up here who will pray with you, people in back, if you need prayer. No matter the circumstances, though, don't let it shake your faith. Let's stand and pray. Our Father and our God, we humbly stand here before you. Father, I am so thankful for the wonders of salvation in my life. And Lord, if there's one here in this audience today who has never truly trusted Christ as Savior, their personal Savior, Lord, I pray today they would repent.